KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies and 35 degrees. We're looking forward to be mostly sunny today with a high of 74, winds southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Audubon Community School District's Board of Education Wednesday night approved during a special session the project plans, specifications, and form of contract for the district's middle school, high school renovation project. Their action followed a public hearing on the matter and means the district can put out a request for bids. The bid documents will be published and sent out next Tuesday, November 10th. Bid proposals will be due on December 8th. This past spring, district patrons approved a $7.5 million bond issue for the entire project. The portion approved Wednesday night, including design and engineering, amounts to about $6 million of the total project cost. City Council in Walnut will meet this evening in person at the Walnut Community Center beginning at 5 o'clock. The public is welcome to attend the meeting either in person or online via GoToMeeting. The link and dial-in information for which can be found in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Among the items on their agenda for tonight is a wind farm request, a review of the city's health insurance package, discussion with regard to the sesquicentennial celebration budget, discussion pertaining to the Walnut Community Facilities, discussion and possible action on amending the code of ordinances pertaining to solid waste collection fees, and the consideration for adoption of several resolutions with regard to the transferring of funds from the general fund into various other city-held funds. The Creston Police Department reports today a man was arrested Wednesday on a charge of domestic assault, simple assault. 22-year-old Kane Farlow of Creston was arrested at his home. He also faces a charge of interference with official acts. Farlow was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports a Red Oak man was arrested Wednesday on two counts of delivery of methamphetamine. 40-year-old Robert Lee Bopp's arrest came as part of an ongoing investigation into the trafficking of meth in southwest Iowa. Bopp was being held in Montgomery County Jail without bond. Mills County Sheriff's Department yesterday said an Underwood man had been arrested Tuesday afternoon at the Pottawatomie County Jail on a Mills County warrant for forgery. 23-year-old Caleb Jack Knight was being held in the Mills County Jail at a $5,000 bond. Cass County Sheriff's Office yesterday afternoon reported two arrests. On Tuesday, 37-year-old Quinton John Perdue of Stanton was arrested on a district court warrant for a probation violation. Perdue was brought to the Cass County Jail and released later that day on a $5,000 bond. And on Sunday, Cass County deputies arrested 33-year-old Jonathan Dean Napier, Jr. of Atlantic on a charge of OWI first offense. Napier was brought to the Cass County Jail and released later that day on his own recognizance. Reminder, the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce's annual Scrooge contest is underway during the month of November. Eleanor Hoover, who passed away in 2019, organized the contest beginning in 2002, just 1 year after the inaugural lighted parade. Scrooge contestants raise money and collect non-perishable food items for the Atlantic Food Pantry. Your 2020 candidates include Brian Ruge from Brown's Shoe Fit, Tammy Shelberg with Atlantic Hy-Vee, John Martins with Aunt Beats, and Jeff and Heather Lundquist with the Atlantic News Telegraph and Atlantic Community Schools, respectively. Contestants are responsible for collecting and submitting their points to the chamber by November 24th at noon. The contestant with the most points will be named Scrooge, and all proceeds will benefit the Atlantic Food Pantry. Winner of the Scrooge contest serves as the Grand Marshal in the lighted parade on December 5th at 6 p.m. in downtown Atlantic. Now, cash donations to your candidates are worth 5 points on the dollar, and one non-perishable item earns the contestant 1 point. Donations to a contestant can be made by delivering food or funds to their drop-off locations. For more information, call the Chamber at 243-3017 or give them an email at chamber@atlanticiowa.com. This year, the Atlantic Food Pantry is asking for a specific list of food items with a focus on monetary donations due to limited storage space. The money will help the purchase food items as needed, including meat and refrigerated items. The list of needed food items can be seen in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Among those items is cream of chicken or cream of mushroom soup, tomato or chicken noodle soup, hamburger helper, some boxed cereal, Jiffy Corn muffin mix, bar soap, canned tuna and chicken, macaroni and cheese, just to name a few. The Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Bailey Smith said the food pantry has seen a very high increase of individuals and families in need of food assistance this year due to COVID-19. And she said, we have such a great group of candidates this year who are all determined people who already do a lot for the community. And Bailey says she has no doubt this will be a successful outcome for the food pantry. Elsewhere in the news, the 2020 harvest is speeding toward completion. 97% of the soybeans have been harvested. Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Negg said about 1.5 million acres of corn was left to be combined when the week started. That's equal to just 13% of this year's corn crop.
We've had a historic pace in terms of getting the crop out, several weeks, in fact, ahead of the five-year average. And so, you know, we're well ahead of pace, and we've got plenty of time here. But it's especially nice when the weather cooperates, as it has here when we flipped the calendar into November.
It's not unusual at this point in the season to have crops standing still in southern Iowa fields. The growing season is longer in southern compared to northern Iowa. In the fall of 2019, there was a propane shortage as Iowa farmers were using the fuel to power dryers in their grain bins.
This year hasn't been nearly as much of a demand for propane because the corn has dried down in the field and just simply hasn't needed as much. So that's been a bright spot for farmers. They've been able to save some on that drying cost, and that's always appreciated.
Up to 4 million acres of corn was damaged or destroyed by the August 10th derecho. Negg says that that contributed to a slower harvest in Pace fields where farmers were trying to harvest damaged stalks.
They've had to literally go slower or maybe even go one direction in a field. And we also know that there was the compounding issues around grain storage that was damaged due to the windstorm.
Negg says that some farmers had to opt to pile corn on the ground because their grain bins were hit by the derecho. Iowa's seeing temperatures some 15 degrees warmer than normal the past few days, but forecasters warn much colder weather will arrive on Sunday with snow possible. Today is Winter Weather Awareness Day, and National Weather Service meteorologist Corey Martin says it's an appropriate time for a refresher about the dangers we may soon face.
Wintertime possesses a wide range of threats to the public, whether it be exposure to extreme cold, vehicle accidents from slick roads, or other hazards caused by heavy snowfall. It's just a day that we can take a look at those hazards that we can expect through the duration of winter.
Wide sections of Iowa already had an early heavy snow during a squall that hit in mid-October, dumping up 9 inches of snow in some places.
It was definitely a little bit of taste of probably what's to come. We know even in winters where we see well below normal snowfall, we still usually get something that comes through and has a significant impact on transportation and other aspects of our lives.
Some forecasters predict a harsh winter is ahead, but Martin says we're just starting to make some educated guesses.
We're in a La Nina pattern as we go into this winter. What that means for Iowa, it's not a strong signal necessarily one way or the other. Usually just to our north, you're looking at below normal temperatures and maybe a snowier winter than what you would typically see. Is that going to drop as far south into Iowa? It's kind of what we're going to have to wait and see.
Well, export markets helped Iowa pork producers sell some animals this past spring when their usual processing paths were disrupted by the pandemic. Iowa State University economist Dermot Hayes says a key aspect of overseas markets is that they like parts of the pig that most Americans don't have a taste for, like feet and offal.
We need those export markets to eat the pieces that we're not as interested in. And in so doing, they reduce the break-even price of producing the loin, the rib, and the belly for the American consumer.
U.S. pork producers had high hopes for 2020, in part because China was still rebuilding its swine herd after a massive disease outbreak. However, Sino-American trade war had barely cooled, suggesting over-reliance on China could backfire. U.S. Department of Agriculture Undersecretary Ted McKinney said some trade bailout money went into developing new markets.
We're leaving no stone unturned. If we can sell an extra container of pork somewhere, that's an extra container of pork that came from somebody's farm or ranch, and that's what we want to do.
McKinney sees promise in a pending trade deal with Kenya and says other African and Southeast Asian countries are also on his radar. China, Mexico, and Canada are the largest buyers of U.S. pork. The Iowa Cattlemen's Association this month will host 10 cattle marketing meetings across the state to provide important updates to producers and solicit grassroots input to help shape the discussion in the coming months. Matt Deppe, the CEO of the ICA, said the organization has been keenly focused on price discovery, market transparency, and producer leverage for nearly a decade, but even more so within the last year due to extreme market disruptions. According to Deppe, producers from each sector in the beef cattle industry rely on price discovery and transparency, and we need more information to help us better negotiate marketing agreements with buyers. Now, the cattle marketing meetings will be held in this area November 19th at 10 a.m. at the Dunlop Livestock Market in Dunlop, Iowa. On November 19th, also at 7 p.m. at the Creston Livestock Auction in Creston. Members of the ICA staff and board of directors will lead discussions centered on cattle market reform to include the Grassley-Tester 5014 bill, Cattle Market Transparency Act of 2020, and the NCBA's voluntary proposal. For more information, you can contact the ICA membership staff. Their emails can be found in the same story on the Ag and Outdoor page under the Programs tab at KJAN.com. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.